I want to share a word with you tonight, so get your Bibles out. Oh, come on, church. Get your Bibles out. Thank you. I'm going to just kind of wander around here until I find exactly what the Lord has. Now, I want to encourage y'all. Maggie has been teaching in Sunday school on the gifts of the Spirit. She's been teaching for, I don't know, how many weeks have you been? Five, and you've got, so it's 6 weeks total. For 6 weeks of teaching that she has, and they've been recording them. She's got it on CD. You can get with Frank, and he can get you a copy of those CDs, and you need to get them and listen to them. Listen to me. It's great, great word, great teaching, great way she did it. Very, very easy to understand, very, 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 very helpful. But, and so you need to get those, because I'm telling you, God is going to do some things in our church in the year coming and the years after that. And one of the things is equipping everybody in here to really be the minister and the person that God called you to be. And you really need to understand who God is in you and what God wants to do through you. Amen. To the world. Amen. Okay. So I want to show you something first of all here. And like I said, I have no really idea where I'm going tonight, so we're just going to follow the Holy Ghost. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 first, and I want to show you something here. I really want to see in this next year our Wednesday night services turning into more teaching nights. I love the worship. I love to be here in worship. It's a great time. But I feel like that, I don't know exactly how this is going to happen, but I feel like as numbers increase, you know, one of the problems I've always had pastoring is that, you know, I've got I got Bill and Pat sitting back there that have been in the very first service that Living Waters ever had. And, you know, and then I've got others of y'all in here that have been here for a couple of years. And so, you know, you get to a big difference of trying to teach and whatever. And on a Sunday morning, I get visitors, I get everybody in here, and it gets to be real hard to just sit down and just to sit with y'all and say, hey, you know, Sugar, let me just teach you something, you know, that would just, you know, something that you could really use. Because, you know, if I was just doing that and you've got visitors and whatever, it just gets to be difficult. And so I've always believed and I've wanted to see Wednesday nights turn into more of a time. I don't know how it's going to work. That we somehow or another make it more teaching, even maybe break up and have different groups. And you know, I don't want it to be just, you know, another Bible study of just going over and, you know, learning how many books are in the Bible, but it needs to be something that is helping you to develop the gifts on the inside of you so that when we leave the doors and go out into the world, we're able to be better ministers. And so that's coming. Like I said, I'm just praying every step of the way, taking baby steps, saying, come on, Holy Ghost, show me what to do. But one of the very first scriptures that ever jumped off the Bible to me was this scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. That you really need to grab hold of and you really need to understand. It says, now the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You're putting a strain on us tonight, huh, Bob? We'll throw it down there in the corner, a little bitty, and see if we can read it. I like that. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with all. Listen, God wants each and every one of us to profit. Now, I can go through and do a whole teaching on how God wants to prosper you, but I'm talking about He wants you to learn of Him and then advance the kingdom or profit the kingdom to someone else. That's really all the Christian life is about. Is about God speaking to you, you learning, you growing, you developing, so that then you have something to share with somebody else. I mean, that's really the simplicity. What happens to us a lot of times is we become dead seas. We take in more and more and more and more, but if we don't give out, there's no real growth. And what happens is we just become stagnant, old pond scum. And that's why people getting fights in churches and divisions in churches and bitterness comes and all this kind of problems comes in because you're just dealing with a bunch of pond scum. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, that's the only water you got to give. And we're praying, you know, spring up a well and all it's coming out. So bad water, that ain't going to be good for anybody, right? So the thing is that God wants you to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. And He wants you to walk in the things of God. But I really, truly believe that we've over-spiritualized. We have hyper-spiritualized the things of God. And I believe that if you took the church today and we would, let's just say the leaders of the church, I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the church universal, and then put them in the same room with the very first church, you know, 6 months out of the gate, or even a couple of 30 years out of the gate, I believe it'd be so different. You wouldn't, one way, be looking at the other one saying, I don't think those are saved. And the others would be looking at them and say, well, those guys aren't really. Because I just believe that the church, the early church, when you look at it and what God was doing, it was a natural thing. It was a natural thing to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. It was a natural thing to have words of wisdom. It was a natural thing to pray in tongues. It was a natural thing just to sit down and lay hands on somebody and they'd be healed. It was a natural, just not something that had to be worked up, not something that had to be, you know, you had to have 2 hours of praise and worship and pray in tongues before you could ever even go lay hands on somebody. It was just a natural thing because it was all about Jesus. But what happened is somewhere along, you know, in the couple of thousand years of church history, somewhere along the line, man got involved. And the minute man got involved, everything started getting mucked up, you know? And the waters are muddy and you couldn't see it. And just all muddy and you're just like, man, there's, you know. Have y'all ever noticed you're driving down the road and you can clean your windshield? And you drive down the road and the bug that hits it is going to hit right in your vision? Now, how is that possible? I mean, like, there's a theory to that. I just don't know what it is. But that sucker will hit dead square right where you look, right? And if you slunch down in the seat and move over just a little bit, the next one's going to hit right there. And you know how your window gets all bug guts on it and you can't see real well. And then, you know, especially at night, right? And it gets all that old mucky stuff all over it and just oily stuff and you can't see good, right? Well, that's what's happened to the body of Christ. And I really believe that Jesus is going to take us back to a place where we're praying for the sick, giving somebody an encouraging word, having wisdom from heaven, having understanding from heaven. It's so simple and so natural that it's just a part of our life. There's nothing hyper-spiritual about it. It just, that's the way a Christian acts. I never forget when I first started carpentering, and, you know, this is way back in the early 80s, and I was just in love with Jesus and just, you know, hungry for everything and wanting to see miracles. And I remember we were on the job that day, and the head carpenter and then the next guy in line were trying to cut a roof angle. And it's one of these jobs, you know, Nick, where you get in there where you got the pitch of the roof, but then you've got an angle going back the other way, and you're trying to get that rafter to fit in there. Man, they'd cut about 3 boards, and I was just the nailer, you know. I mean, that's all my job was. I didn't know anything about carpentry. I just did what they told me to. And I was just learning in those days. And so they were trying to cut that angle, and they kept getting it wrong. And I'd, you know, put it up and say, yeah, doesn't fit. Try again. Throw it down. And so they'd say, well, you know, measure it. Get over there, measure from here to here and whatever. And I remember the Spirit of God just spoke to me, just as in my heart, just as plain. It wasn't a boom from heaven. It wasn't anything. It's clear today. And I remember I said, really? And they said, what? And I said, well, I said, the Holy Ghost just told me if you'd cut that thing on a, you know, I don't even remember what it was, like a 22 and a half degree angle on a 5 and 12 pitch, it'll fit. And they're like, you don't even know what you're talking about. And I said, I bet I'm right. And sure enough, after a few more boards that they cut it and it was perfect. But you see, it was just something that, just like that, the Spirit of God just spoke it to me. I just knew it. I had a word of wisdom there, a word of knowledge, really. It was not a big, it wasn't anything, you know, the heaven didn't thunder and lightning didn't flash and But I knew what the answer was. Now, see, those things are cool. And those things are productive for every day of your life when it's just, you know it. Well, God's always wanting to do this because he wants the manifestation of the Spirit. He wants the manifesting of the Spirit of God on the face of the earth to come to us so we can advance the kingdom of God, or we can profit in the kingdom. God's not ever holding anything back from you. Do you know that? It's just that we're not hooked in. Now, you know, I know one of our problems is our lives are too busy. I mean, it's just, I don't know how to get out of it. It's like when I left the house this morning, I was already like 3 hours, you know, late, you know, and I was leaving on time. I mean, it's just like ridiculous. I had 57 phone calls a day and texts and emails flying all over the place. And man, it was tough to stay on track. It was tough because it's just the things of the outside world coming in there. Well, that's always going on. That business is always going on. But we've got to learn. The most important thing that we can learn is how to stop and have that moment that you shut the world out and you can hear the Spirit of God. And it doesn't have to be something that at first it may be we need an hour of praise and worship before we get there. But then there could be a time as you start to grow that you can get to where, you know, it's just a moment. I was out helping my son yesterday, and we went on a little hog hunt, and I didn't care anything about shooting anything. I just wanted to get away where I couldn't hear traffic, couldn't hear anything. And I sat down for just a minute, and I was kind of shocked because it was a fairly easy day. I didn't have a whole lot of stressful things, but it was fairly easy. And as I sat there, I went, and I could feel like my shoulders moved, and I was like, and then it was like just a little more peace. And then finally it's like, and then it's like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep. It's just so peaceful. Didn't hear anything, you know, so peaceful. And then I sat there for just a moment, you know, just relaxed. And then it was just like, oh, Jesus, you know, and I started talking to him. And it's just like, it's so easy to hear the voice of God. So easy because there's just nothing going on. I mean, you couldn't get any stiller than in the middle of the back of that pasture where there was nothing going on but the leaves making rustling noise. I wouldn't have cared if a grizzly bear had come out there. I didn't want to mess with it, right? But we let ourselves get all crazy. And then, you know, once the enemy comes into our life and begins to put condemnation on us or guilt or shame or, you know, oh, we should have done this, or we should have done that, or oh gosh, okay, I wonder if we're going this way. Well, then he's got us by the tail. Because the more he does that, now he's just added to the other complicated things that we're going through life, just the regular, you know, being a mom, trying to get the kids to school, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, cooking, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, going through. Now he's adding this to us, and now we've just got double the load. And it's a tactic of the enemy, because that's what he wants to do, is get us off track and get us pushed to the side. Now, so I want to carry on this. So what we have to learn to do is we have to learn what it really means to minister to the Lord. Okay? Most of the time when people say ministry, what we think about is we just think of standing behind this pulpit preaching, what we're just doing the ministry. Or, you know, something connected with a Sunday morning church service or a, you know, children's church or Sunday school or whatever. You know, you're thinking of ministry, you're just doing ministry. But in reality, there's two kinds of ministry. Actually, I guess you could say there's three. The first one is ministry that we're supposed to be doing to the Lord. Second one is the ministry that the Lord's sending back down to you. And then the third one is then the ministry that we're doing when we're giving it to somebody else. Right? Because that's the way it's supposed to flow. It's got to come from heaven down and out. Right? And so, I just want to talk a little bit about ministering to the Lord. Worship that we just did there a minute ago. When you stop and you close off the world and you stop and you say, Jesus, I love you. I'm, you know, There's repentance, there's worship, there's thanksgiving, there's whatever that comes out of your heart to the Lord. Yeah, that's one form of ministering to the Lord. But let me show you the biggest form of ministry to the Lord. Go to Matthew chapter 25. This is one that most people forget about. Matthew 25, verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all His holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. And the king will say to those who are on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Okay, so just stop right there. You can go and you can look over in Acts 27, Acts 17. You can look at these scriptures and so that no matter how we want to cut it, sometimes I don't like this, but it's the truth, that you were born to who you were born to, you were raised the way you were raised, you live here in this time, in this period, right now, because God knew that was the best time for you to be born so that you could function and receive from Him, be saved, and help others. See, I'd like to have been born at a different time, but I got stuck in this one. I'd like to have gotten born to some parents that were taller. You know, I got the body I got because that's what he, I guess, figured was going to best suit me. But anyway, you can't get around it. It's the truth, okay? So, he's going to gather all the kingdoms that's already been, look, it says, prepared from the foundation of the world to inherit the kingdom prepared. God already has an inheritance set for you, okay? God already has it set for you. He's already been able to see your end from your beginning. And He's already set up a kingdom. He's already got things, great things prepared for you to inherit. Already from the foundations of the world. He didn't just come up with it, oh, well, I think they can have that now. No, it's great and glorious things. When we get into heaven, we're going to be so shocked because it's not going to be like we probably, through our common thinking, have thought it was like. Have y'all ever done something that, you know, whatever, something simple, send somebody a card, bake somebody a pie, you know, stop on the side of the road and help somebody, just done something for somebody, and, you know, you didn't think it was a big deal, but then either that person responded back to you or you heard something and they were like, oh my gosh, it was a big deal, I can't believe you know, this meant so much to me, da-da, and you were shocked at how touched or impressed they were with something that you thought was pretty simple. Has that ever happened to y'all? You know, sometimes people come up to me and say, oh my gosh, you know, I'm just like, really? You know? Okay. But you see, you don't know what really is going on. None of us really do. We don't really know how our lives are affecting other people or going on. We really won't ever know till the end. Till we see at this moment when the inheritance is there. What really you affected in life. Okay? But I can tell you this, God has it set up that He wants it to be the greatest. In other words, it's so good you can't even believe it. The simplest thing that you did was huge and affected hugely the kingdom of God. You follow me? You know, it's this throwing the stone in the water and you throw it in the water and the ripple effect and it starts going out and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But every one of you, it's happening in your life. The stone, the pebble is going into the water and it's making this ripple effect. And you're not going to really even know what it is until you get to heaven. Of that moment that you stopped and helped somebody or whatever. I just sitting there looking at Helen. Remember which one is your grandson that Caleb? that stopped and helped the lady up the road, and then ends up, she was looking for a church and ends up being in church here now, and they becoming friends and all like that, just stopped to help her fix a flat. You know, just things like that. You just don't know. And then what did that person is going to go do with their life that then is getting accounted back to this over here? See, you just don't know. Dixie, you don't know the children that you have, you know, in the children's church, you know, that you, whatever, that they could go up and whatever, and you don't even have any earthly idea. And we really won't know till the end. That's the inheritance. That's the inheritance that you're going to see someday when you step over into heaven, and it's like, wow, really? You know, $5 you gave in the offering plate, but it went to this and it went to that, and da 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 da. And then all of a sudden it had this huge giant ripple effect. And you're like, wow, you telling me? And see, God has it set up for you like that. He wants you to inherit that. Now look at this. I'm going to read 34 again. Then the king shall say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. 35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? Or when did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer, surely I say, inasmuch as you did unto the least one of these, my brethren, you did unto me. Okay. So in other words, they did something naturally that they didn't even think about what they were doing. Are you following what I'm saying? In other words, it was just out of the abundance of their heart, they gave or they blessed or they went to visit the sick or did something for somebody or whatever. It was just, they were saying, well, it's really nothing. Just like y'all said a while ago, oh, we did something for somebody. We didn't know that really meant that big a deal. So the greatest way you're going to be ministering to the Lord is when you're doing something for somebody else. See, it's not just worship, standing here and worshiping, it's part of it, but ministering to the Lord is anytime you did anything for anybody else. Now, whenever my children are blessed by somebody does something for them, that blesses me because they did something for my kids, right? What about God? If we're all his children and you did something for somebody, well then, hey, he's the same way. He's like, thank you. Appreciate that. Y'all following? So what we have to do is we have to change our thinking and our mentality into every day when we're out in the world and every day that we're going around, if we want to be ministering to the Lord, then we have to be looking for those opportunities to do something for somebody else. Which may not be a big deal to you, but it may be a big deal to them. It may be, hi, how you doing? It may be a handshake. It may be, buy that little boy a candy bar or, you know, or whatever. But when you do it, you're doing it really unto Jesus. And the Lord's smiling, and this is where the church has missed it. Not this church, the church all over. Because the church all over has tried to bring everything into the church and run everything through a program, or we're going to go do outreach this week, or we're going to go have this meeting, we're going to go out and we're going to do youth, and then they're going to go do this, and we're going to do that, da, 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 da. And we try to formulate everything. When the truth of it has to be, it has to come from the nature of the person's heart. Lord, when did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? That's the most effective ministry. The manifestation of the Spirit given to every man to profit with all. So everybody's out there profiting. Everybody's just functioning the gifts. Everybody's going out there. And it's just this huge ripple effect going everywhere. One of the things is that, and I've talked about a little on Sunday, is about how that some of y'all are really gifted in just bringing people to church. And it may not seem like a big deal, but it's a big deal. Some of you are real gifted and just say, hey, come on, go to church with me this Sunday. And that person would feel secure to say, oh, okay, I'll go to church with you. And that's all you had to do. Hey, glad you came to church with me. Bye. See you later. But it was so effective. You know, I was thinking about Brandon over here, that Johnny went to work with you. And then Johnny showed up. And then he had four or five people with him on Sunday. You know, and it's, see, that's the ripple effect happening. Somewhere, somebody got you in church. Right? Comes down. But then if Jesus speaks to them, and then they going out and doing something, that's adding back over here to the inheritance. It's really going to go back to Brandon. How God keeps account of all this? I'd have some real accounting angels up there or something. Now, you used to sing a song a long time ago about, how did it go? We seek the giver, not the gift, or we seek the gift and not the gift. Why does that go? Come on. What's the rest of the word song? I came up with that much. Well, I don't have to remember that song. But, you know, it's like the person wanting to get. I mean, it's the wrong heart, right? The person wanting just to give because they're a giver, then there's blessing coming back. It's the same thing with everything with this, with what I'm talking about, this inheritance in the account, is if we're just trying to populate heaven so we get more to our account, well, that's, you know, that's the wrong heart. But it should just be natural out of us. Like Bill over there, I laugh because he stands at the door and he greets everybody that comes in. But if y'all would have known Bill Schaefer, like back in the ancient days when I was like a teenager, he was standing there still at the gas station greeting people. Hey, come on in. How you doing? What's going on? The same. He is just like he was then now. I mean, in that it's just part of him. It's just his nature. I mean, I'm not even as friendly as he is. Well, not anybody is. But you see what I'm saying? That's his nature. It comes natural. You don't have to prod him and say, look, I need you to go stand at the door. God, I hate to shake hands with people. I mean, that would be terrible. You don't want a door greeter that doesn't want to shake hands with people. I can't, Pastor. I'm a germaphobe. I can't touch anybody else's hand. So you're definitely not the greeter, okay? Right? Isn't that right? If you're the cook that always burns everything, we don't need you at dinner on the grounds over there trying to warm up the stuff. My wife and I have been going round and round because we bought this new pan. It's supposed to be the greatest egg cooker in the world. You know, nowadays they tell you if you cook in anything else like the good old pans we used to cook, that stuff will flake off, kill you, you know. Well, I'm just ready to dive that flaky stuff because, man, you could heat one of those things up and cook an egg. These other things, you know, you get them over about two, they all stick and burn, and I'm so mad, and I'm just like, what's the matter? You know, pour half gallon of oil and try to cook them. Still don't work. Stick down to the bottom. Say, how could that be? Huh? Is that right? These things are of the devil, man. I don't even understand how any human could cook. And I was like, then this morning I had so much oil sitting in that thing. The whole thing was bubbling. I said, that thing ain't going to stick. And then went to flip it over and says, I cannot believe that. I just wanted to just go outside and just throw a fit and just throw it. Shoot it. But it was just my egg. I had to eat it, right? I had to get that, scrape it out of there. I said, I ain't going to cook another one. That gum. So you don't want me in there doing that either with the egg, at least not with that pan. I'm gonna go to the junk store, go to some, what do you call them, resale shop, and see if somebody have an old pan in there. It's got that black stuff all over it. Dear Lord. just die of whatever comes off her thing. It'd be happy. At least be happy cooking my eggs in the morning, you know? So, I'm losing my train of thought. Knowing that in the morning's coming. No. I told her, I said, those pans are designed to just put an egg in there, and it's like they're trying to make you poach an egg. You like got to cook, you know, for 35 minutes to cook an egg, you know, like on, it's got to be on one. It's so warm, you know, so the hood of my truck in the summer would cook an egg quicker, you know. It's got to, I guess, is what they're trying to do. I ain't got time for that. I want an egg. I want one now, man. Put that thing up, fry it up. You know what I mean? Lord have mercy. You can just put butter in that pan. It'll stick. Okay. So, when what God is wanting to do to us is he's wanting to release this into us. He's wanting us to come to an understanding of just what it is that what he is wanting to flow through us to the world. And it be natural. So I want you to understand, it's natural. You can't work it up. You cannot work up being a greeter if you're not a friendly person. And you can't say, well, I'm just going to pray till I get to become friendly because I really want to be a door greeter. No, you're missing what God called you to do over here. It's as easy as cooking an egg in the morning on a pan. No. It's just simple. You see what I'm saying? It's a natural thing. So, first thing you should start to do to find out what God's trying to do with you is start asking yourself, what comes naturally easy to me? Well, complaining. I can complain, Pastor. Comes natural and easy to me. Well, we don't. No. The godly parts. Right? I got it. I'm good at judging. I'm really good at judging. I can be very critical. It's me. No. That one doesn't get to go by. It's those godly things in us. Those good things that bring about blessing, that profit and advance the kingdom of God. All right? It's like my wife. She always wants, every Christmas I say, you know, like, what do you want for Christmas? This should be forever. She said, I want a saw. I want to make things. I said, no. Your gift is here, playing the piano. If you have a saw, you could cut your fingers off, and then we're always going to be short one key, you know. I said, you don't get a saw. I'm sorry. So finally, she was complaining about wanting a saw, a chainsaw. Then she moved to a chainsaw. She wanted a chainsaw. So I found one of those pole saws, you know, with the blade is fixed on there, you know. Said, you can try this one, but that's as much as close as I want you to be, 20 foot away from a saw. I don't need a, you know, an eight-fingered piano player. It's going to miss that key every time, so it's not going to be there. So, you know, you have to have wisdom and reasoning and understanding what God's saying to you, right? And then when you get in that place, it's just going to come natural. And God's just going to bless you. So start to think about it. Start doing it. Even, write it up. Just take a journal and start writing. What are the things that are just come easy to you? They're just natural, that just flow with you real easy. And then you're going to be on your way to starting to see how God wants to bring a powerful manifestation by using that in your life. Amen? Amen. So look at the person beside you and say, man, you got some gifts and you got some talent. It's like Miss Jan back here. Miss Jan makes me look nice. She hems my shirts and makes me look nice. It's a talent. It's a gift. You used to be a seamstress. See? Well, I'm just saying you used to work. Oh, that was your job, right, as a seamstress. So all I'm saying is that Look at what God does. Comes natural. You know, if you can't cut a straight line, you don't need to get hold of my shirt. And there's no reason to want to be something else. Just use what God's got for you, because he's already got the greatest things for you. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Enough foolishness. Let's take up our offering tonight.